it's Tuesday, the 14th of July, and this is Israel in 10, the Mizgav Daily Brief. I'm Laura Cellier. Iranian attacks on two oil tankers in the Strait of Hormuz have killed one sailor and injured several others. Today's guest is Khosrow Isfahani from the National Union for Democracy in Iran. He says attempts to negotiate with Tehran have only emboldened the regime and that it will not stop until it is forced to. Hear our conversation in a moment, but first the latest. A sailor has been killed and several others wounded after Iran fired cruise missiles at two Emirati supertankers attempting to transit the Strait of Hormuz. The UAE has condemned the attack and threatened retaliation. Iran has also been attacking Jordan and Bahrain. It follows a third night of US airstrikes on Iran, which came just hours after President Trump announced the US Navy was reinstating a blockade in the Strait of Hormuz. Nearly 80% of Americans believe the military campaign against Iran will continue for a prolonged period rather than ending within a few weeks. That's according to a Reuters poll that was published today, and it's up from 65% in March. And around half believe the conflict is not worth the cost. Just 37% support US strikes. Israeli and Lebanese negotiating teams are meeting today in Rome for the latest round of ceasefire talks. According to Lebanese media, Beirut will press for an IDF withdrawal from parts of southern Lebanon under a pilot plan that would see the Lebanese army move in as reconstruction begins. Meanwhile, 86 Lebanese lawmakers have called on the UN Security Council to extend UNIFIL's mandate, with France pushing for a decision in the next few weeks. The Security Council voted unanimously last year to end the mandate after Israel argued UNIFIL had failed to fulfill its mission. Israel says it has killed Hamas's naval commander in Gaza City, along with three more armed terrorists in the north of the Strip. The fighting continues as Hamas drags its feet on disarmament. The European Commission has launched a new $1 billion Gaza reconstruction plan, which is backed by 15 countries. Jared Kushner and former UN envoy Nikolai Mladenov were there to attend the launch ceremony. And the efforts of EU foreign policy chief Kaya Kallas to impose sanctions on Israeli settlements in the West Bank or Judea and Samaria have failed. Foreign ministers failed to reach even a simple majority. Kallas is now asking EU ambassadors to explore other ways to advance an end to what she calls an intolerable situation. And the Iraqi Prime Minister Ali al-Zaidi is due to make his first visit to the White House today as Baghdad seeks to strengthen ties with Washington and secure a number of energy deals. The visit is intended to signal greater distance from Iran and closer alignment with the United States. However, it's been overshadowed by a statement from several pro-Iranian militia, including Kataib Hezbollah, which last week rejected calls to disarm. Before we get to today's conversation, a reminder that you can sponsor Israel in 10. Just drop us a line at mizgavdailybrief@gmail.com. Now here's Khosrow Isfahani. Iran has been attacking its neighbours. It's been attacking ships in the Strait of Hormuz. It's making all sorts of threats. Is this really a regime on its last legs?
If you try and drop a frog in a boiling pot of water, the frog will try and jump out of that water. But if you put the frog in a tepid bath of water and incrementally increase the temperature, the frog will be basically incapable of movement when the water reaches the boiling point, and it will die. That's what the Islamic Republic has historically done to the world. Gradually increasing pressure and tension that it's imposing on the world, and with the world watching and seeing and not doing anything in response, the regime has expanded the periphery of the warfare beyond its borders. No, the regime is still not at its last breaths. It still is capable of striking what it perceives as adversaries. We are dealing with a deadly cult that is going to keep pushing the tension upon the world as long as the world tolerates it.
Because we keep hearing this narrative, don't we, about the pain threshold that this regime has. And basically, it can just take so much pain that the West cannot take. I mean, is there a limit to how much pain this regime can take?
Not really. When you're dealing with a death cult that celebrates death and destruction, that its whole identity revolves around the concept of martyrdom, No, there is no actual threshold for pain for the Islamic Republic. There is one solution for the Islamic Republics. You either go for absolute annihilation or forcing the regime into accepting total humiliating surrender. As long as you're engaging the Islamic Republic in good faith negotiations, the regime is going to keep going at it.
It seems as though President Trump has given up on negotiations. I mean, if we look into his last statement, so where do you see this going from here?
To be honest, I'm not sure if President Trump has fully given up on negotiations or at least buying time through negotiations with the Islamic Republic. My understanding is that this is going to continue into November. Again, my understanding is that the U.S. administration right now is prioritizing domestic politics and propping up the American economy before the election, and then we might see another surge in kinetic action against the Islamic Republic. But until then, I don't think we are going to see a full-fledged operation against the regime.
At what point can the Iranian people take advantage of the weaknesses that have already been inflicted on the regime by the United States and Israel?
So there are three layers necessary for the Iranian people to become capable of overthrowing the Islamic Republic. During the recent military operation, we saw a decapitation of the Islamic Republic. President Trump went after the first and the second layer of the Islamic Republic's leadership. He took out Supreme Leader Ali Khamenei, and then he took out people like Ali Larijani. But he left intact the third layer of the Islamic Republic leadership. When you have people like Qalibaf, Ahmad Wahidi, Hassan Rouhani walking around, taking breath, being able to stabilize the Islamic Republic, they still can organize the IRGC to be effective in terms of killing and maiming Iranians and stopping them from achieving what everyone would love to see, regime change in Iran. So one, we need further decapitation of the Islamic Republic's leadership. Two, we need targeted strikes against the regime's arms of oppression. The IRGC was hit hard during the recent military operation, but it is still intact. The provincial bases of the IRGC, the actual arms of the oppression of this regime that took to the streets in January and killed tens of thousands of Iranians, is still intact. What was targeted was the regime's capabilities in terms of firing missiles and drones. It was degraded, but the threat of these types of attacks have not been removed. So we need a further targeting of the regime's dual capabilities, the capability to hit Iranians at home and the capability to hit Iran's neighbors outside the country. So that's the second layer. The third layer mostly falls on the shoulders of the Iranian diaspora and opposition forces. We are trying to fight the Islamic Republic. We have been fighting this regime for decades. But we still are extremely disorganized, divided, like every society on the face of the earth. Iranians are an exile group in spread across the world that are constantly and systematically targeted by the intelligence forces of a totalitarian state. Of course, we are going to be divided. Of course, we are going to have infighting. But we have the will to unite, to come up with strategies and plans that can enable people inside Iran to overthrow the Islamic Republic.
Where is Mojtaba Khamenei? He didn't show up to his father's funeral last week. Any idea what is going on? And is he making decisions?
A couple of things about Mojtaba Khamenei. We are talking about a man who had never had an actual meaningful political life. He never gave a public speech for a Shia cleric, not being even a good orator. That's an absolute failure. Shia clerics, one of the key jobs of them is gathering people, giving speeches and making them cry and ready to go to war for martyrdom. And he is incapable of doing that. Unlike his father, he doesn't have that type of charisma, that type of aura. When you look at the scant number of videos that exist of Mujtaba Khamenei speaking, he is a horrible public speaker. He has the charisma of a boiled potato. And he is the first AI-generated supreme leader the world has seen. Whatever we are seeing about him is a bunch of written texts. And the messaging that is coming from those texts is that the Islamic Republic has entered the end of times mode. Revenge against the United States and Israel, a mission to destroy the Western civilization. That's the language that Mujtaba is using, or at least whoever is writing for him. But who is he? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. What is behind him is the IRGC and the security apparatus of the Islamic Republic. He is nothing but a puppet for this regime. A man who doesn't have charisma, no political life, no identity. He is an empty vessel that the IRGC can fill with whatever it wants. He's ideal. He's perfect for the role.
That's it. That's your Israel in 10. Thanks for watching or listening. And please do subscribe using the link below. Goodbye.